This week, I have been in classrooms here in Dillingham to share with kids about refuges because, and here's a bit of foreshadowing for the rest of this episode, it's National Wildlife Refuge Week. This week typically, and this year was no different, marks my first forays into classes for the new school year. It also is almost always a reminder about how much I love the randomness and frankness that younger kids can have. Let me share with you a funny, or at least I thought it was funny, from my very first presentation this week. Each and every year I try to tackle Refuge Week from a slightly different angle. This year I decided to make subsistence the focus of my talks because subsistence activities are a big part of refuge management in Alaska. At the end of my first visit, I was putting away the stuff I brought with me, when a little girl, maybe 6 years old or so, came up to me with a dour look on her face. I asked what was up and was met with this comment, "Leopard seals are killers of penguins." I would note that nothing in what I shared that day made any mention of seals or penguins. Clearly, though, it was something that was weighing heavily on her mind, and apparently I seemed like the guy to share that with. At any rate, it gave me a chuckle. Little kids almost always do. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. My very first Field Notes episode was written and recorded in October of 2007. It was, I believe, about Pelican Island, the very first refuge. There are a long list of topics related to Refuge Week, a very long list indeed, to include early refuges, personalities associated with the beginning and early years of the system, and topics connected to the refuge system today. As I mentioned a moment ago, subsistence activities have been the focus of my school visits this year, because subsistence activities are an important focus for many refuges across Alaska. In fact, they're more of a mandate, as providing for subsistence activities is one of Togiak's purposes for which it was created. Today, let's pinball through a number of topics in celebration of National Wildlife Refuge Week. The mission of the National Wildlife Refuge System is to administer a national network of lands and waters for the conservation, management, and, where appropriate, restoration of the fish, wildlife, and plant resources and their habitats within the United States for the benefit of present and future generations of Americans. And that's a word-for-word copy and paste from our national website. In some cases, the system protects certain species, though the overarching theme is that it's habitat that's protected. And I should note that there are other federal agencies that protect our nation's natural resources, such as the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. However, it's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which manages the refuge system, that's driven by wildlife and how it manages the resources assigned to it. The refuge system protects some of our nation's most iconic ecosystems and the fish and wildlife that rely on those ecosystems, such as the prairies of the heartland, the hardwood forest of the southeast part of the lower 48, and the vast landscapes of our desert southwest. The system also conserves waterways and critical ecosystems along rivers, streams, wetlands, coasts, and marine areas. Again, system lands and waters are different from lands managed by other agencies. Wildlife conservation drives everything on national wildlife refuges, from the purposes for which each refuge was established, to the recreational activities offered, to the resource management methods used. There are currently 566 refuges across the United States and its territories. Each one had its own special purposes for which it was established, though a central idea that's common to all is that they target the conservation of native species dependent on those lands and waters. All activities on those acres are reviewed for compatibility with this statutory purpose. An example far from us might be Parker River National Wildlife Refuge in Massachusetts. I have a friend who is a park ranger there, and with that, I'd like to give a shout-out to Matt Poole. Parker River was established to provide habitat for migratory birds. A management example from Parker River is that it restricts night beach fishing in the spring, when tiny piping plovers, a species of concern, well, there's only a little over 8,000 worldwide, breed and nest. The beach is then reopened once piping plover breeding season hits its end. The National Wildlife Refuge System has been called one of our country's greatest conservation success stories. The system, as mentioned, is managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, so I work for both the service and the system, proudly wearing the brown uniforms associated with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The refuge system has its own unique logo, a blue goose, as created by noted wildlife artist Ding Darling. In fact, some of you may have seen our very own blue goose at area events such as Beaver Roundup. We have a blue goose costume that's often on display during open house events and parades. The goose's name, and this is nationally, not just for us, is Puddles. When you see that iconic blue goose, you can know that it's the wildlife refuge system that's represented, kind of like an animal mascot for a school, which I believe is something we can all understand and get behind. I mentioned that there's 566 refuges across the entire system. That's something of a fluid number, as more refuges are created and land is added to existing refuges each and every year. When I started working for Togiak Refuge in 2007, my oh my, where does the time go? That number was somewhere in the 540s. There is at least one refuge in every state, and a fair number of refuges are located close to major population centers, affording a great many city folk their best and sometimes only opportunity to have close contact with wild lands and wildlife. Closer to home, we have 16 refuges in Alaska, which may not sound like a lot, given the size of our state, but my oh my, the ones we have are huge. Of our 16, 11 of them hold the top 11 spots, as far as size, out of the whole 566. And all 16 are found within the top 22 spots. The largest is Arctic Refuge, followed by Yukon Delta and Yukon Flats. In the number 4 spot, at 4.7 million acres of land, is the one near and dear to us and the one that serves to employ me, Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Togiak Refuge has, what I like to tell people, are a bunch of numbers that provide some definition to it, though the refuge is certainly about more than just numbers. First, there's that 4.7 million acres. Think of it this way. That's larger than Connecticut and Rhode Island, if you were to combine them. Of that, 2.3 million acres is designated wilderness area, which we manage just a little differently than the rest of the refuge. And that's the second largest block of wilderness area in the refuge system, after Arctic Refuge. Some of the other numbers. We have 1,500 miles of rivers and streams, 600 miles of coastline, 500 lakes larger than 25 acres, over 500 types of plants, more than 200 bird species, 33 fish species, 31 land mammal species, 17 marine mammal species, and one amphibian species, the wood frog. Some of the personalities associated with the refuge system and its history are fun to study as well, including German immigrant Paul Krogel, who kind of got the whole thing going in the late 1800s. Krogel was a forward-thinking sort of guy who could see that unregulated hunting of large shorebirds for the plume trade was likely going to lead to their demise. As such, he took it upon himself to guard tiny Pelican Island with his own boat and a shotgun. When I say tiny, Pelican Island is about the combined size of the Dillingham High School building and its parking lot. Another personality was noted ornithologist Frank Chapman, who helped Krogel gain national recognition for his cause. And then there was President Theodore Roosevelt, who became convinced of the need for federal protections of habitat and signed off on protection for Pelican Island. That was in 1903 and made Pelican Island the first ever refuge. Not one to rest on his laurels, Roosevelt created over 50 more refuges before he left office. Roosevelt is a fascinating topic unto himself. If you ever want to feel like you're not quite squeezing enough out of life, take a moment and read up on Theodore Roosevelt. He might just serve as motivation to want to do more. Roosevelt was the governor of New York, the youngest president in the history of our country, ranched during a time when ranching was still a dangerous thing to do, served as a frontier lawman, and found time to father 6 kids. And he was a devoted father, too, often causing frustration amongst his staff for allowing his kids all over the White House and knocking off at set times from work during his time as president to ensure he didn't cheat his kids on time spent with them as a dad. He was a decorated soldier, having been awarded the Medal of Honor, and he was the first statesman to win the Nobel Prize for Peace. He was a voracious reader, reading as many as 3 or 4 books per day, and he also found time to author 35 books. He is known by many as the father of conservation, and he was a dedicated, passionate hunter. And he packed all of this and a whole lot more into a life of just 60 years. All that to say, Happy National Wildlife Refuge Week. Let me close with the three thoughts that I end my classroom visits with. Refuges provide protected habitat for species all across our nation. The refuge system is a really terrific thing, and Togiak Refuge is, while admitting to a level of bias, a very special, very unique refuge that's very close to us. We don't have leopard seals out there ruthlessly hunting down penguins, but we do have a lot of other really great stuff, and a lot of it is just outside your door. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.